This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Today we're again looking at the book of Job, and our passage is the Old Testament passage, Job 38, but we are only going to do verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." And that's verses 1 through 7. And may God add his blessing to this second reading of the Old Testament passage. This is when the book of Job gets truly awesome. God has heard the discourse of Job, his three, if you can call them that, friends, and Elihu, the young man. As we saw last week, Job was pretty full of himself, but his friends were savage counselors. They all claimed that Job was a terrible sinner and that God was punishing him for all of his misdeeds. And indeed, Eliphaz accused Job of cheating orphans and widows and unclothing the people. Now, think about this. Do you remember when you were in school and there was a class know-it-all in your high school science class? The kid is proud of himself for how smart he thinks he is and how much he thinks he knows. Then, all of the attention focuses on the door of the classroom that opens slowly, and with a squeaking noise, and in walks Albert Einstein. He's been listening outside to the know-it-all, the self-proclaimed expert, and he walks up to the kid and he asks, "You think you know something about physics?" This, on a very small level, is what we're talking about in today's passage. Job is the know-it-all. And in our illustration, although it doesn't do God justice, Einstein serves that part by being the expert on physics. And he comes in and asks the kid, "You think you know? Well, that's what's happening here. And in our language of today, actually, the Lord asks, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" In our parlance of today, that would be something like, "Who is this self-proclaimed know-it-all who's shooting off his mouth and being the gas bag that he really is?" It doesn't stop there. The Lord continues by saying, "Who darkens counsel with words without knowledge?" God says to Job, "Right now you are trampling all over wisdom. You're trashing common sense. You are so wrong that wisdom is fleeing from the scene." As we saw last week, in reality, Job is so full of himself that he's blindly rambling on about how good he thinks he is. He's like the really know-nothing high school kid who isn't half as smart as he thinks he is. God's next words should be kind of scary for all of us if we think about it, especially if you're the one to whom he's saying them. Any reasonable person should shudder at the thought of God saying, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." God is now taking to the floor for what is like the opposing lawyer's cross-examination in a trial. And the Lord is getting ready to ask Job some real doozies. First, let's consider that God could very well have been asking this question to all five of those people in that room. It's pretty reasonable to say that all five of those guys in this eloquent drama spoke of things about which they had no knowledge. Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu had no knowledge of the events And here's where it gets theologically deep. They had no knowledge of the events of Job chapters 1 and 2. They had absolutely no idea that the events to which they were witness were the result of God's plan to bring about a changed mindset and heart in Job by allowing him to be broken as part of what we call the sanctification process. Remember, Satan asks, God says, yeah, check out Job. And he did it knowing that Job would not curse God. But at the moment, what was happening there is the Lord was allowing the devil some latitude to bring some misery on Job, because what God was trying to accomplish in Job was to break him of his self-righteous pridefulness in the process. Now, thinking about this a little more, it's unreasonable for us to believe that God expected them to know the answers to those bigger issues involved. What God likely wanted to see out of all of those guys was an appreciation for the reality that God is sovereign and he's working on a plan of redemption that we have not yet been shown. He's also working in our lives in ways that we don't see. Sometimes, if we do know what God is trying to do and he lets us know in advance, don't we try to maneuver around so that we can influence the outcome to the way we want it? If he told us what he was going to try to do, wouldn't we try to sit there and see if we can fix it so that we get what we want out of the deal? Because we think we know, rather than because of what God wants to accomplish? Such was the case here. What might Job have done differently if the Lord had sent an angel to tell Job what was going to happen? Well, Job would have had his kids not go to that party at one of his son's houses. Job would have probably put extra guards around all of his livestock and would have probably interfered with the process that God had set in motion. In other words, Job would have messed up the plan if he had known about it in advance. Right? He probably would have tried to fix things. So God says, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Remember that on our passage last week, Job wanted to question God. In this instance, God says, not happening. Instead, the Lord says, no, you answer me first. And if you can answer my questions, then I'll answer yours. This is sort of like when Jesus turned the tables around on the scribes. Remember the deal where they said, the scribes came to him and asked, well, how do you get the authority to do all of this? And Jesus said, I'm going to ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it from God or was it from man? Right? And they said, we don't know. Then Jesus said, well, I'm not going to tell you. That's what's going on here. The geniuses, the scribes, again, they said, well, we don't know. And Jesus said, well, I'm not answering your questions either. So let's take note that God's questions to Job were obviously unanswerable, at least to Job. This scene was to show Job that he had no proper position from which he could rightly question God. There are deeper things we humans don't know, so what place do we have to demand anything from God? But here's another side to this. Last week we saw that Job believed God had left him in the dark. Job believed that God had forgotten about him. But what's happening here? God shows up. God is present with Job. This is as personal of a scene as we can get. God is speaking directly to Job, so God hadn't left the patriarch of Uz after all. He was right there. Now, do you think Job, in this instance, although God was reprimanding him, do you think Job might have even felt just a little bit of comfort at that moment? Because even though Job is being grilled by the Lord that he's having been shown there are so many things he doesn't know, He must have felt some little bit of comfort. And you want to ask why? Well, it's simple. Even though there are a lot of things he doesn't know, he's been treated to the truth that God is right there with him. God hadn't left. God is there. And Job notices from this that he was never abandoned during all of that. And now Job can hear his father, his heavenly father, speaking directly to him. So in this instance, when Job says, oh, God's forgotten about me, God shows up and God is talking with him. And what this says is that God had not abandoned Job. He'd been there right there all along. So here are some of God's questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The point of these questions wasn't to find out if Job knew the answers, because Job obviously didn't know, and God, of course, knew that Job didn't know. Obviously, because Job wasn't around at the time of creation when God stretched out the heavens and formed the earth and made the seas and all those things. The point of those questions was to show Job that God is in control of his world. He knows the vastness of his creation. He knows who laid the cornerstone of the universe. Every detail is in the hands of God. He knows exactly what he's doing. And not only that, he knows exactly who we are. He knows where we are. He knows our position in life. He knows our life situation. God knows all of these things. And that we haven't been left alone. We have not been abandoned. No matter how difficult any of our situations may ever get, we can know just from this passage that God has not abandoned us. He hasn't left us by ourselves to fend for ourselves, to fight for ourselves, to try to scratch out a living without his help, without his gracious interference or assistance. And the good thing is that Job had not only been reassured of the infinite intelligence and detail orientation of our God, he also found out at that moment, again, that God had been with him all along. And we can't stress that point enough. We all go through situations that are so hard and so difficult for us that we are tempted to think, where's God in all of this? But let's know from this passage and get the assurance we need that God is right there with us, right where we are, right now, in this moment, in this very second, in this sanctuary, right at this moment. God is here. And he wants us all to know that he's still in charge and that he can make a way where there seems to be no way. And how many times have we been tempted to think, there's no way, it's not going to work, I'm not going to change, he hasn't changed me, I don't see anything happening, I don't know that there's any difference going on. He's forgotten about me. But that's not true. God is right here, and he's been here all along. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.